Bobby Sipes. And for those of you that are joining us over the internet, I know you'll enjoy hearing Robbie. We appreciate you tuning in over the internet. Always glad to have those that listen by Justin TV. We hear from people most every week, and it's a real blessing to be on the internet, and hopefully everything's up and running fine, and we got some people tuning in this morning. Brother Robbie and Kim are over for the weekend. Their kids were over for the Bible school. They've done that for many years now, and we always love having them here. And when Robbie is over, I always ask him to preach. He is part of the ministry over at Charity Bible Church, where his dad, Brian, is the pastor. And Robbie also has a class over in Asheville, North Carolina, that he teaches over there weekly. And he's been preaching for several years now, and he also sings. And somebody, I just noticed this morning, I had a request from somebody to get Robbie to sing. But I always have to, I hate to ask him to do double duty, you know, sing and preach. But at any rate, we're glad to have him here. Some of you may remember last year at the Bible conference, Brian preached a message and he talked about that 40-pound watermelon. Well, Robert reports that the compost watermelons are doing good again this year. So we look for an update in September. Come on, Robbie.
Yeah, he'll have a new and improved story for you. I was over there the other Sunday, and he took me over to the mulch pile, and what great things the Lord has done. I really am honored to have a chance to speak with you this morning, and I just want to thank the church for your ministry here, the Bible school for the kids. It's something that my kids talk about all year long. They, all the time they're talking about something they've done at Bible school, or looking forward to the next time. You know, they talk about that all year long, and it's a great ministry, and I appreciate all the work that goes into that. I appreciate Billy and Stephanie for allowing my kids to hang out with them for a week. And so Kim and I have been childless all week, so we're ready for kids. Believe it or not, we're ready. No, I'm just joking. Oh, man. But I'm looking forward to the conference in September. Lord willing, we'll be here, and my dad will be here, and I'm not going. I've already spilled the beans a little bit about it, but I'm not going. I'm going to give him tell you all about his mulch pile. Galatians chapter 6. If you wouldn't mind turning to Galatians chapter 6. I do have a Bible class in Asheville. If you're ever vacationing over that way, we meet on Wednesday nights, and usually we meet in the home of David and Sherry Nesbitt, who a lot of you know. They usually come to the Bible conference here. We've got some new folks that are coming, and we're going to talk them into coming to the Bible conference this year. So maybe we'll get to meet some new people there. In Galatians chapter 6, and I was talking to Brother Mark, it's always amazing how things work out with lessons, Sunday school lessons, and then the preaching side of it, how they kind of intertwine, and that's one of these cases here. But I want to talk a little bit about what we're going to read here in Galatians chapter 6, starting in verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now notice the contrast here in verse 8 between flesh and spirit, and how that there's two sides there. And you're sowing in the flesh or you're sowing in the spirit. Verse 9. Let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And I want to talk today about fainting. And what is fainting in a spiritual sense? Now, we know what fainting is in a physical sense, You know, someone who sometimes you see things where people like faint at the sight of blood. So they see blood, and all of a sudden they're, what are they doing? They're passed out. They're laying on the floor. They're unconscious. They're not aware of what's going on around them. They're passed out. They're fainting. They've fainted. People faint for various reasons. I have to pick on my wife a little bit, but my wife is a fainter. Now, she'll faint on you in a heartbeat. And a lot of times it's sudden pain from her. She'll go out. She twisted her ankle one time and she was out. They found her there laying there at work on the sidewalk, passed out, and she twisted her ankle. And other people faint for other reasons. Some people faint if they're overly excited, or if, you know, sometimes it's a medical condition where you may have low blood sugar, or you may, whatever the case may be. But Paul here is talking in a spiritual sense of fainting when he says let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And I want to talk about what that fainting is, because it has to do with our reaping. It has to do with our reward. It has to do with what the end game is. And if we faint, then we won't receive. We won't have the rewards. And the indication here. And again, it goes back to verse 8 about sowing in the flesh or sowing in the spirit. And there's something wearisome that we find in verse 9. He says, let us not be weary. There's something wearisome about doing good, about reaping in the Spirit. There's something wearisome about that. And there's a propensity there. There's a chance that people who get wearisome will faint. And so I want to look at that today and see what that is and how we can keep that from happening. But there is a conflict there. Look back in chapter 5 in Galatians and notice this conflict between the flesh and the spirit. In chapter 5, verse 16, this I say then, walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to the one, contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. There's a conflict there. There's a conflict there. Those of us who are saved have a conflict between the flesh and the spirit, and they're constantly in a battle. They're constantly battling over who's going to be in control. Who's going to have the control? And as Brother Mark was saying in Sunday school, there, it has to do with who you feed. It has to do with who you give yourself to, in the flesh or in the spirit. And the conflict there causes us to be weary. It causes us to get tired of the conflict. You know, we can't do the things that we would. We have this flesh. You know, we're saved. Those of us who are saved, we've got the Spirit of God in us. And that Spirit of God in us, the new man, wants to serve the Lord. It wants to do good. It wants to get the gospel out. It has a desire to see people saved. It has a desire to be a positive influence on people and to help people. And it wants to do the things that God would have you to do. It wants to fulfill the will of God. And that's all that it wants. And then on the other side of the coin, you have your flesh. You have the same old flesh that you had before you were saved. You have that same flesh that was inherited down all the way through Adam, that doesn't want to serve the Lord, that doesn't care about any of that stuff. It just wants to fulfill the lust of the flesh. It just wants to keep on enjoying the things that it enjoys without thinking about the Lord, without worrying about anything like that. And so the conflict there is raging, and it causes it makes you tired. It makes you wearisome in that new man. That new man gets tired. You know, I was thinking about this, I used to coach football, and in high school. And one of the things that we would do in the preseason, and even in the off season when we did workouts, is we would have the players strap a tire to the where it would be dragging behind them, and so they'd put it on, and then this tire would be behind them, and then they would have to run with that tire, and they'd have to run, you know, 50 yards with that tire, and they'd turn around and run 50 yards back, and you know, they didn't like that too much. They wasn't fun for them. And the thing is that tire was a great equalizer. Because there were some little old fellas that without that tire, man, they wasn't anybody that they couldn't outrun in that 50 yards. I mean, they was as fast as you could go. And then you had these big old boys who they never could go very fast without the tire. And so that tire ended up being a pretty big equalizer. Because a lot of times them big old boys could run that 50 yards faster than them little old boys could with the tire on. Well, the point that I'm making there is that that's our flesh. You know, we're hauling around a big old tire holding us back. And that's what Paul said there in Galatians is that ye cannot, at the end of the verse, ye cannot do the things that you would because of your flesh. It's holding you back. It's keeping you from doing that which you would. And Paul talks about that, and I'm not going to turn over there, but he talks about that as well in Romans chapter 7. That he said, you know, in the flesh dwells no good thing, for the desire is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. And that's the thing, is we have that desire. We have that the desire, but the conflict there, the thing that causes us to be wearisome is the conflict. It causes us to get tired of the fight. And when we get tired of the fight, eventually, if we don't do something, we'll faint. And we'll stop. And we'll give up. And we'll give in. And that's what I want to talk about a little bit today with the fainting. Because we live in a very ungodly world. And when I say ungodly, I know there's a lot of evil in the world, but there's always been evil in the world. There's always been bad people in the world. Ungodly, and what I'm saying is ungodly as just not caring about anything that has to do with God at all. And in fact, religion in itself, in a lot of cases, is just ungodly because they really don't want to know what God has to say. They want to keep their religion. And that's ungodly. And so we're bombarded with ungodliness. We're bombarded in our mind with the things of this world. And that causes us to get tired. And it causes us to suffer persecution and affliction. And in fact, turn over to 2 Timothy, and look in 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 2 Timothy chapter 3. In verse 10, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. I want to stop there. Notice the things he's talking about here. He's talking about doctrine. He's talking about purpose. He's talking about faith. He's talking about the good things. He's talking about the godly things in his life that we should know about. And notice it's fully known. Fully known. But then he goes into verse 11 and he starts talking about persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me in Antioch, in Iconium, in Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now, I have heard people say that we really don't suffer persecutions today in the time that we live in. That Paul was referring to his persecution, which had to do with getting thrown in jail and stoned and whipped and all of the bad things that happened to Paul in his life, which were horrible things. But Paul makes a pretty definite statement here that all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So we're either suffering persecution today, or we're not godly, living godly. But the thing is that we do suffer today, but it's not the type of suffering and the persecution that Paul had. Think about this for a second. Now, in the Roman Empire that Paul was in, what was the purpose of the persecution and affliction? What were the Jews who were persecuting Paul? What were they really trying to get him to do? They're trying to get him to be quiet, wasn't they? If Paul shut his mouth and went back to the synagogue, or if he just dropped out of sight and just hung out, you think he'd have got any more whippings or thrown in jail or persecutions? Do you know what the persecutions and the afflictions that Paul had came about because of him standing for what he believed in and what the ministry that he had been given? And the persecutions, the purpose for the persecution is always to get you to stop doing what you're supposed to do. Paul was supposed to get the gospel out. He was the apostle of the Gentiles. He was given the doctrine and the gospel for the dispensation of grace. And it was his job and it was his ministry to get that out to other people. And then those other people then give that doctrine and that gospel out to everyone else. And that's God's will today. God's will is for all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. And if you, as a saved member of the body of Christ, are participating in that which is God's will, then you are living godly in Christ Jesus, and you are going to suffer persecution and affliction, whether or not you know it or not. There is a force out there that wants you to be quiet. There's a force out there that wants you to go away and not say anything and just blend in with the world, and then you won't have that persecution and affliction anymore. Just as if Paul would have stopped. But the persecution and affliction has taken a mystery form, much like the dispensation of grace is a mystery form. Now, you can go to certain parts of the world today, and if you stand up and do what we're doing here, you'll suffer persecution. You go to Saudi Arabia and see if you can do this. You go to China and see if you can have a meeting like this. You can see what happens. So it's still there. But the persecution and afflictions that we have are oftentimes mental. They're all right here. They're subtle. But it comes with godliness. It comes with getting that gospel out. You know, we are laborers together. In fact, turn over to 1 Corinthians. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 4. Let's start in verse 4. For while one saith, I'm of Paul, and another, I'm of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. The context here is people themselves, we're not important individually, and what we do, God uses that and God gives the increase. Our job is to plant and to water anonymously, going about our business, living our life, not to bring glory to ourselves, not to count. You know, I get a little fed up with people and churches who feel like they need to count. Not who's there on Sunday, but they want to count how many people they baptized that week or that month, or, you know, or they have a conference, you know, or a revival, and they have this many that got saved, this many rededications, this many joined. You know, our job's not to count. Our job is to plant and to water, and then God gives the increase. That's what we do. You know why? Because if you get to counting, statistically, we're failures. You know, statistically, you think of the billions of people on planet Earth, and how, or think about the thousands of people that live right here in this general area, and then how many people are sitting here. Statistically, that's not very promising. It's not very encouraging. So you don't do it that way. What do? You concentrate on the work. You concentrate on what you're doing. And let the Lord worry about the increase. You know, you got the internet ministry here. This is wonderful. It's wonderful. Because you don't really know who might be watching. You don't know who may download a message. You know, I download the messages here all the time, and you probably don't even know it. But I do. And I listen to them on the way to Asheville, to my Bible class. I do it all the time. You don't know what will happen with you and your ministry as far as what the results will be. God gives the increase. So neither, verse 7, so then neither he that planteth is anything, neither he that watereth, but God that give the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. That's the end game. That's the end result, is you're going to get a reward for the work that you do. Not for the gain, not for the increase, but for the work. God gives the increase. You're not giving account for how many people you led to the Lord, so to speak. You're given a reward for the work that you do. And I'm glad about that, because sometimes it seems slim. You know, I drive to Asheville and I love the people in Asheville. But I started that class in 1997 with two people. I drove. It's a 2-hour drive. But over the years it's grown, and I praise the Lord for that. But, you know, if you go by numbers, we would faint. You know, we would get discouraged. We would fall out. Oh, what's the use? Why keep on? Why keep doing it? Because thinking like that will lead you to fainting. And fainting causes you to fall out. And you don't do anything. So what do? You keep on. And you do that because notice verse 9. I love verse 9. I love this first phrase here. For we are laborers together with God. You're not working alone. You're not working all by yourself. You're a laborer with God. It's His plan. It's His plan. He's the one that's in charge of the results. He's the boss. You know? He's the one that's in charge. So we're just working with Him. We're just following His orders. We may not understand it sometimes. It may not make sense to us sometimes. But you just keep on doing it. Because He's the one. We're laborers together with Him. And we're building something with Him. And we may not be able to see the end game as we would like to. But we're His workmanship. We're His husbandry. We're His building. Verse 10, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. Let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Take heed how you build on this foundation. Remember it said, reaping, if you reap to the flesh, or you can reap to the Spirit. In the Spirit are the good things that you do here. Notice verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. There's an end game here. There's a reward to be gained at the judgment seat of Christ. But Paul said, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap if you faint not. Someone who faints can't work. Someone who's passed out, they're not doing anything. It's like they're asleep. It's like they're out. They can't help. Paul said not to faint. Not to give in to the afflictions. You know, there's afflictions. Paul, over and over again, and I'm not going to turn there for time's sake, but Paul talks about in 1 Timothy the afflictions of the gospel. Be not there ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. And the afflictions that come with that gospel. He talks about it in Philippians chapter 1 as well, that there's afflictions that come, there's persecution that comes with the gospel and getting that gospel out and doing the ministry and building this building that we're all part of in the dispensation of grace that God's building, the body of Christ. But he says not to faint, not to give up. And there's several reasons why someone would faint. And there are examples of fainting in your Bible. In fact, sometimes people faint out of fear. Some people faint, they're afraid of the fight. They're afraid of the conflict. They're afraid of the persecutions and afflictions. And they give in and they faint. Other people faint due to lack of strength or nourishment. And this is going to go along with what Brother Mark's lesson was. In fact, I want to look at that for just a minute. Look, turn over to Genesis. And look at Genesis chapter 25. Look in Genesis chapter 25. You know, a lot of times if you want to do a word study or a study of a particular topic in your Bible, a good place to start to get an idea of that is the first mention of it and where it's at in the Bible. And so as I was studying about fainting, I went to the first place that it mentions. It's mentioned in the Bible, and this is what it was. In Genesis chapter 25, and just to give you the context here, it's the story of Esau and Jacob. And Esau and Jacob were brothers. Their dad was Isaac. And Esau was born first. He was the heir. He had the birthright. But notice the boys grew, verse 27. Genesis 25:27. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sawed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was what? He was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. So here's the picture here. Esau's been out hunting. Evidently he didn't plan very well, or he wasn't very successful in his hunt. And he's coming in, and he's acting like a drama queen, I think. He's a little dramatic here, you know. I could just see him. He's hungry. And he's just staggering in. And there's Jacob there, and he's fixed his meal, and he's getting ready to eat. And it smells good. And he walked in, and he started smelling that stuff. And that stomach started rumbling. And I appreciate the conversation we had about what happens when you get hungry. My wife says I get pretty mean when I'm hungry, but I don't believe that. Don't believe that. But when you get hungry or when you there's a desire in your flesh for something, a lot of times if you let that control you, it will cause you to make decisions that you normally wouldn't make. And this is the case here. Because Esau is coming in and he's hungry. He said, I'm about to die of hunger. Notice Jacob's smart. Verse 31. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. That's a big deal. We're talking about heir. We're talking about who's going to be the heir. Who's going to be the main guy when Isaac goes, when he dies. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me? Now, do you think Esau was really about to die? I mean, he's walked in from the field, and he can't wait to fix his own little meal there before he dies. Or he can't go to his mom and say, Mom, feed me. I need some of them biscuits and gravy you had for breakfast this morning, some leftovers or something. He wasn't, you know, nobody just dies from starvation, you know. It takes a while, you know. He wasn't really about to die. He was hungry. And he was wanting that food. And he said, so Jacob said, verse 33, and Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink. And rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Esau was faint. Esau was weak. And he was weak because of a lack of nourishment. Something, his flesh took over. The flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And he gave in to the flesh. And the point here is that a lot of times we, as Christians and a member of the body of Christ, we give in because we lose our strength. And we lose our strength because we don't feed that new man. We don't take time to nourish that inner man as we should. And we fall out. We faint. We give in to the flesh, oftentimes. And Paul warns us against that. In fact, let's just look at a couple more verses here. Turn over to Ephesians and look in Ephesians chapter 6. In Ephesians chapter 6. Notice verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. That's where your strength comes from. That's where the strength for you to do good works and to live godly in Christ Jesus, you don't have that strength in your flesh. You don't have that intrinsically. That doesn't just come about, as Mark was saying, that doesn't just come about freely, as justification does and as righteousness does. That's something you work on. That's something that you do. And by the way, someone who's lost, if there's somebody here today that's lost, you have no strength in your flesh to please God. The Bible says that in due time, he says, when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. You don't have strength in your flesh to please the Lord. You don't have the strength of your flesh. You don't have the ability. to please the Lord. He said that the flesh, there's nothing in the flesh that can please Him. Ye that are in the flesh cannot please God. He said, in my flesh dwells no good thing. Salvation comes to those who recognize that and will trust Christ as their Savior. And unless you've ever trusted Christ, you don't have this new man. You don't have this spirit. The physical, in this world that we live in, you can't walk around and point and look at somebody and say, that one's saved, now that one's lost, that one's saved. We don't have that ability. We don't know who's saved and who's lost because you can't tell on an outward appearance. The difference in this flesh, in the life that we live in, the difference between a lost person and a saved person is whether or not they have the Spirit of God. Do they have this Spirit? Do they have this new man? And if you don't have it, then you're not saved and you don't have the ability to please God in your flesh. This Spirit, this new man that we have, the inner man, is the thing that enables us to have any good works whatsoever. And if you don't have that, you don't have any good works. You don't have anything to offer to the Lord. Your judgment won't be based upon your good works and your bad works. Your judgment will be based upon whether or not you've rejected or received Christ. And you can receive Him right now. You don't have to wait for an altar call. You don't have to wait to talk to somebody after church. Right now, Jesus Christ has already done everything that He needed and had to do for you to be saved. It's already been done. All that needs to happen is for you to accept it. For you to receive it as a free gift. And it's there. And then you can begin to please the Lord in your flesh through this new man. Outside of that, you can't. But notice this, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand. Standing versus what? Fainting. You ever seen somebody faint while they're standing? They're standing, and then what happens when they faint? Do they just stay standing? They fall out, don't they? They're laying down. We're to stand. And we're to stand in His power and His strength. That's where the strength comes from. You know, we're in a wrestling match. And it's not against each other. It's not against flesh and blood. It's against the principalities and the powers and the rulers of darkness who want you to faint, who want you to go away, who don't want you to be serving the Lord and doing His will. He wants you to be passed out. He wants you to faint. And He wants to take you down. That's a wrestling term. Take down. Real right. Now, what Paul's not talking about, he's not talking about The Rock or Stone Cold Steve Austin or some of these wrestlers, He's talking about real wrestling. And I used to coach in wrestling in high school. Luke, my son, he wrestles. The wrestling match starts out with both men doing what? They're standing. They're standing in the middle of the ring or the mat there. No ring, no ropes. They're standing on the mat there facing one another. They shake hands, the referee blows his whistle, and guess what they're trying to do to one another? Trying to take the other one down. They're trying to put him on the mat and subdue him to a point where he can't get up. You're in a wrestling match, and it takes strength to wrestle. It takes more strength than you can muster in your flesh. That new man needs the strength. It needs to be strengthened. Look in chapter 4 real quick. Look in chapter 4 of Ephesians. In chapter 4, verse 22. That you put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Be renewed in the spirit of your what? Your mind. You know where your battle is? You know where the wrestling match that's going on with you is? It's not a physical thing. It's your mind. It's here. It's between your ears. And there's something that needs to be renewed right here that will give you strength to be able to put on that new man. Look over in Colossians. Look in Colossians chapter 3. Verse 10, Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Renewed in what? Knowledge. What was the second part of the will of God? God will have all men to be saved and come unto the what? Knowledge of the truth. You know how you renew that new man? In knowledge. Where do you find that knowledge? Watching Dr. Phil? Chicken soup for the soul? You find it right here. This is the food of that new man. The Word of God, the bread of life, the manna from heaven. This is it right here. And you're only as strong as a member of the body of Christ, a Christian today. You're only as strong as you are right here in this book. That's the tale of it. How do you do it? Well, you read it, you study it, you listen to it taught, you meditate on it, and it strengthens you, and it renews you. Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul here, in the context here is the gospel. And he notice verse 7. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. That's the strength. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. There's afflictions, there's trouble, there's distresses, all of these things that come with the gospel, that come with preaching that gospel and getting that gospel out. But notice what he says down here in verse, skip down to verse 16 for time's sake. For which cause we... what? Faint not. But though our outward man perish, that's this flesh, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Now, it didn't say week by week, did it? It doesn't say Sunday to Sunday, did it? It didn't say from Christmas to Easter. It said, day by day. How often do you need to renew this new man? Day by day. Just like you feed your flesh. You don't get up one morning and say, well, I don't think I'm going to eat today. I just ate yesterday. I don't need to eat today. I don't do that. You can tell that. Why? Because you need to eat. You get weak. You act different when you're not. I do. I know I do. I admit it. In fact, I'm starting to get hungry now, so if I don't shake your hand and look at you mean, it's because... No, I'm just joking. It's something you need to do. Why? Because if you don't feed that new man, you will become weak and you will faint and you'll give in to the flesh and you won't serve the Lord. You'll be faint. So stand. Be strong in the Lord and His power. If you're lost today, why don't you just trust Christ? Why don't you right now make a decision that I'm going to commit my salvation to the Lord and I'm trusting Him because He died for my sins. And you can be saved today. Thank you.